Hey everybody, welcome back to Blacktown TV's Look Who's Next. Of course, you guys know I am your hostess with the mostest, Miss Simone Jackson, always here to bring you guys another great episode of Look Who's Next. In case you guys don't know who that is, what that is, of course, Look Who's Next is a great podcast where we have engaging conversation with influential guests in the entertainment industry. So I'm very excited, of course, and happy to be introducing our next guest. He is an award-winning actor. He is just been amazing. He debuted on Broadway in 2001 in Lackawanna Blues, actually. It aired in HBO in 2005. And he's just been pretty much busy. He's been starring in other films like Jelly's Last Jam, The Piano Lesson, The First Breeze of Summer, Cabin in the Sky. Also, he also appeared in film and television in Coming to America, Shaft, The Red Sneakers. Does this man actually sleep? We don't know, but we will find out. But everyone, please give a warm welcome to Mr. Ruben Santiago Hudson. Hi, Ruben.
Good morning. Good morning. Before we start, let me just set this straight so the people that were in these performances with me won't say, no, they didn't tell the truth. No, my Broadway debuted in Jelly's Last Jam in I think it was 2000, something like that. That was my Broadway debut. Lackawanna Blues has never played Broadway. Though it was a movie, it played off Broadway and it did a national tour. And now we're at the Mark Taper Forum in Los Angeles until April 21st.
Ah, okay. That sounds awesome. I apologize for that. But throughout But
Jitney, that I directed, won the Tony 2 years ago on Broadway. And I won a Tony as featured actor in August Wilson 7 Guitar. So I've done extensive Broadway, but not Lackawanna Blues yet. But when talking to you and people get on to it, yeah, we're going.
Well, I hope that becomes a Broadway because I haven't seen a Broadway and I would love for Lackawanna Blues to be the first one I actually see. So let's hope and cross our fingers and speak that into existence. Let's hope. But before we get to all that, Mr. Ruben, let me start off with the first question for you. How long were you writing your autobiographical play prior its debut in 2001?
Well, I was commissioned by the Public Theater in New York City under the direction of George C. Wolfe to write the memoirs that I had been talking about for the last every since I've been able to talk about the woman who raised me in a rooming house in Lackawanna. So I'd been talking about it, and George said, write it. And it took me about 18 months to get it written and ready, and then we produced it. They produced it at the Public Theater, and we put it on. And it was, it's a huge success, and we toured it. And finally, in 2005, it was released as a movie.
Okay.
So 18 months of writing,
Oh, okay. Okay. But hey, that's a lot of dedication, but it's, I can't wait to see, the dedication that comes from that, just to go back just a little bit, there, Mr. Ruben. Were you always interested in arts when you were younger, or is this something that you discovered as you were older, or was it something you were always interested in?
Well, as a young child, I was an avid reader, and so when we would do plays or read plays, even in the second grade, I was one of probably the most proficient readers, and so they let me do the plays, and I just loved it, and no matter what other direction I went in. The theater didn't let me go. It wouldn't release me, and it was the best wrestling match I've ever had. Just falling in love with something and being passionate about something that eventually would give me the power to actually matter and have a mouthpiece in the world, not just in arts, but people actually pay attention to what I have to say sometimes now because of my proficiency in the arts, what I've achieved as an artist, and the truth of the work that I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I had to say, super plus of you being a super reader when you were younger, because I was too. I was always in the library. That's where you could always catch me at school. I was always at the library. Such a huge, adamant reader. So I'm really glad that, you becoming an adamant reader discovered your love, found your passion and love for the theater, because yeah, it is, like I said, you have such an amazing career with it. So at one point in your pre-production, did Chris Thomas King contribute additional music?
Well, Chris Thomas King came on initially as to be a standby for my original collaborator, Bill Sims Jr. Mm-hmm. Once Bill was diagnosed with cancer, and we didn't know how long Bill would last. He figured we would do this tour and then, you know, we would, you know, go from there. But what happened was, you know, he got sick very fast and very hard. So Chris Thomas King was thrust from our insurance policy to the mm-hmm. actual performer. And he's been a godsend. You know, Bill passed away about 3 weeks ago, and Chris took on the mantle of doing the show. And he's just an amazing musician, an amazing artist, and a wonderful man. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we both pay a lot of respect to what Bill's accomplished, and we do as much as we possibly can of Bill's work, and Chris adds his own touch to it, which has been amazing.
Oh, that's really touching. That's really awesome. I'm glad that he was able to be a blessing to you guys and then able to help finish out with this. And you know, especially condolences for you losing your friend for sure. But you know, I'm glad you were able to find a blessing with that with Chris, and you guys were able to create something and, you know, pay his respects to Bill in a really, really amazing way. So,
yeah, it's been great. It's been great. You know, Chris and I, you know, found a wonderful chemistry, and, you know, mm-hmm. he respects and appreciates all Bill has done. So that, you know, that's the foundation for it.
Of course. Absolutely. You know, Ruben, I have to know, because you have such, like I said, acting, directing, and writing. You guys have such an amazing career. What would you say is the most difficult aspects out of all of it, you know, out of acting and directing and writing? What would you say is the most difficult aspect of it?
Well, as far as just doing the work, it would be writing, because it's the loneliest of all my professions. But the most difficult part of being in this business is just navigating the terrain of, you know, a lot of just getting your projects done, and some of the people that you have to sit in meetings with who something is important to you, and the only thing is important to them many times is, you know, finance. Can they make money? And it is a business, and I have to come to the realities every meeting of convincing the people across the table who I'm asking to finance a project. I have to come to the reality that I have to make sure that it's successful for them financially, because right. I want it to be successful for me artistically and financially as well. So art without finance is absolute failure. So you need finance for art. So, but excuse me, what are you willing to do for the finance? And then, so that's the toughest thing. Because there's a lot of things that I'm not willing to do, and so that would keep me out of a lot of opportunities to make money. Because money can't be the primary focus for me. It has to be, excuse me, combating and disabling some of the distorted images of my people, and in putting it in a more realistic, humane context of who we are with the integrity. Mm-hmm. So that's most important. But and I know that that's also you can have a financial windfall from that as well. All you got to do is look at the movie Lackawanna Blues or the play Lackawanna Blues. And I hold that up to anything. It's very successful as a play. It's been very successful as a movie. And, you know, it's just been just telling the truth about our African-American communities and the women in our communities that hold us together and you know, take care of us. And that's what Lackawanna Blues is about: love and respect, integrity, humanity.
Love it. And I do have to agree, you know, you can't have art without finance, but we can't make the money the focal point of, you know, of your career and what you want to do. So I definitely agree with those. You know, you got to have them kind of separate anyway. Yes, you need definitely, you know, the finance, you know, to finance your art, but also make sure that the art is the number one thing of your career and the number one reason for your career. Can't make money the reason for your career. So I'm glad you're all about the art, honestly.
I don't think everybody takes care of that. You know, mm-hmm. You know, many people, and I've heard interviews recently where people would say, forget about integrity. Let me just make the money. And that kind of like my jaw dropped open. I'm like, right? Forget about integrity. So you're going to step on your grandmother. You're going to step on your ancestors. You're just going to kick everybody to the curb so you could be rich and take care of another generation. I could take care of another generation if I'm a painter, if I'm a truck driver or a teacher. I don't have to give up everything that's sacred to me just so I can stand on a mountain and look at people and say, look what I've done. No, I'm not doing it.
Love it. Love it. I'm so glad, because I've been hearing that around a lot too, where people want to give up their integrity, and it's just, I love what I do, but I need to have the integrity for it. You know, I need to keep my integrity intact, keep what, you know, what those who came before me that taught me and everything. And it's important, because you can get lost in this business if you don't have your morals and if you don't have your integrity and you don't have everything, you know, straight. You can definitely get lost in this business. So it is good to be, you know, speaking with somebody who believes that it's the same as I do. Integrity is very important. So very, very important. Just to continue on there, Mr. Rubin, you know, I would love to know, as you were younger, who inspired you to start your, you know, career paths? Who really inspired you to start the career that you are at now?
Well, you know, all along the path, I've always had tremendous support from people to just do whatever I wanted to do, but just don't half step, as my mother would say, give it your all. I didn't know that this would be a career for me, or the possibilities of having a career in the arts, until in college, one of my mentors, a writer, an extraordinary white writer named Lofton Mitchell, was the one that said to me, you know, you can actually make a living doing this. You can go places in this world you never thought you'd go. You couldn't imagine. And your art will take you there if you give it a chance, but you got to really focus and give yourself to it. And I was like, no, it's not going to take. He said, I promise you, just try it for a year and see what happens. Put everything else and make it secondary and make it primary. Make your art primary and watch what happens. And he was absolutely right. I started doing my first professional jobs. And from there, you know, joining different unions and different things and becoming a professional actor. And, you know, there's been rough times and there's been like great times. But all through it, there's always been times. You know what I'm saying? It's never been a blank. It's always been something. and you know, he was right. You know, if I just gave myself up and made the sacrifices I needed to make, he felt that I had the potential and I had the talent. I just needed to make the commitment. And once I made the commitment, which was 1976, it was over. You know, it was just like the light started hitting the path.
Right. Oh, that is awesome. That is so inspiring. That does. That kind of inspires me a little bit. I like that. I do.
But it continued, though. You know, it's like, then I, you know, it just kept on going. There was other people that was creating opportunities or allowing me to spread my wings and to discover, you know, what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are, and what I had to learn more of, do better. And that's how I work, you know, each day, no matter that I've been doing it over 40 years, I'm still learning and I'm still trying to get better and I'm still trying to find out more and reveal as much as I can find out. It's the truth. I want the truth. I want you to see the truth in me. I don't want to fake you out. I don't want to create an illusion. I like to give you a piece of me, a piece of my heart, you know.
And see, that's genuine. That's genuine and that's real. And this is why, you know, you are successful and you have, like you said, 40 years. That's incredible. Truly, that is incredible. And you're still learning and you're still, that's really the best to me is that, you know, you've been in the career for 40 years, but you're still willing and opening to learn and grow and still see new things that are out there. So I completely, totally respect that. You know, going on just a little bit more, like you said, you've been in the career business for almost 40 years, so much, you know, achievements. But Mr. Rubin, is there anything you haven't achieved yet in your career that you still like to?
There's a lot of things. I mean, you always have to have goals and you always have to have things to strive for or you won't get up out of the bed. If you think you got it all, then keep your butt in the bed. So yeah, I'd love to do a huge miniseries on the Harlem Renaissance. But a big one. I mean, like five parts, 5 2-hour movies. That's one of the things I would love to do. Another thing is it would be great to take on some iconic figures and play them in movies or television, like Frederick Douglass or W.B. Du Bois. I would like to play either one of those guys. I think that would be challenging and informative to audiences. And still, there's a lot more education that I need to give to the kids and impart to the kids. I have an arts center, the Ruben Santiago Hudson Fine Arts Learning Center, which is in Lackawanna, New York, my hometown. I would like to see that become bigger and delve more into what it can do in the community at night. We're doing great in the day, but we need to get more funding so we can keep it open longer at like all through the night till about 9 or 10 o'clock. Right now we're working on that, and it's coming together very nice. But there's always more to accomplish, you know, particularly as a mentor and somebody that to make sure that the people who are following me. As a matter of fact, as we were talking, a call came in from one of my mentees who just did like 3 movies. So, and I just saw his name pop up. And so it's like, that gives me joy, seeing people who I've been able to influence or set an example for, see them do well, and that they know that I'm here to bounce any ideas off, to support them and to encourage them.
And that is good. I'm glad. That is amazing. Like I said, and I hope that, I definitely will hope for your school to open up longer. Seems like it's making a great impact on the community. So I definitely hope for that. And I definitely hope to see, you do the Harlem Renaissance and stuff like that, because I would definitely love to see stuff like that, because it hasn't been explored much. So I would definitely like it to see, explored, more. But Mr. Rubin, going throughout all of that, are there any future projects that you're involved with that you can just give a little tiny dish to Bucktown TV?
Yes, a couple things. My next project is a play called Oubladi. It's about a 1946 all-female jazz band, a black female jazz band that's touring, and who goes to Chicago to make their mark and become this huge band, and all the problems they go through coming from St. Louis to Chicago in the 40s. But it pays homage to, Valeda Snow and Hazel Scott and Mary Lou Williams and all these great black female band leaders in the 40s. That's wonderful. That'll be at the Two River Theater in New Jersey, June to July. And then the national tour of Jitney, the play that we won the Tony on Broadway with, will begin in Washington, D.C. in September at the Arena Theater. And finally, this summer, Terrell Alvin McCraney's television series on Oprah's own network called David Makes Man, with Felicia Rashad and myself and a host of very, very talented people. Look forward to that. Look forward to seeing it. I look forward to it. I hope you do as well.
Yes, I am looking forward to it. You just said Felicia Rashad. I didn't need any more reasons, to be honest. I've been such a huge fan of her since day one. So, plus it sounds like it's going to be a great show and just all around just amazing. So I am looking forward to it. And I highly encourage the all Bucktown TV audience to be looking forward to it. So, yeah, it just seems like you got great projects coming out, and I'm excited. Yeah, you got me excited for them, so I cannot wait to see more. Yes, I cannot wait to see more of that coming into the future, absolutely. So, as we mentioned before at the beginning, you did win an award for one of your scripts. Now, I need to know.
Huh? Not a award. This is 40, over 40 plus years. There's a few of them in boxes and on shelves.
Not just one award, I hope, but this is the Humanitas Award. The Humanitas Award.
Humanitas. Yeah.
Humanitas Award. Yes, this is the Humanitas Award for your HBO film script. I need to know, though, Mr. Rubin, even though you had a historical career with many, 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 many awards, I would like to know what was life for you winning this award? What was your reaction?
Well, it's about just what it sounds like, humanity. It's about art that changes human beings for the better, for the best. And it's given to writers whose work is transformational, as far as we as human beings are concerned, how we treat each other, what we know about each other, and how we respect each other. And that was Lackawanna Blues, the film. They also won another award that is similar, called the Christopher Award, which is given by Catholic priests to people who make life better for all of us by revealing something, sharing something with everyone. I mean, and that film, along with the National Board of Reviews, that Lackawanna Blues film also won Emmys, Golden Globes, Producers Guild, Directors Guild, and NAACP Image Awards. It was acknowledged throughout the industry and outside of the industry. The Humanitas is outside of the industry. The Christopher is outside. So all of those awards speak, volumes about people's respect and appreciation for stories about human beings being whole and real, mm-hmm. particularly us of color. And we need much more of that. And yes, and as long as I have breath in my body, I'm gonna see what part I play in bringing that to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I'm really glad that, Lackawanna Blues was recognized outside of the industry, because it has made such an impact. So the fact that, it won an award like that. Yes, it is important, especially because it is about a film about, you know, people of color. So we definitely need more of that. I am, you know, right there with you on that one. You know, Ruben, I do have to ask this question. Like I said, an amazing career, over 40 plus years, awards, everything. But if you were not writing, directing, or acting, what career path would you chosen?
I would be a teacher of some sort, whether it's in the ministry or whether it's just in the universities. But long as that I can relate and be with people, learn from people, and teach people, and lead people, and also at the same time correct the distorted images that have been the lies about who we are, and in the capacity of being a teacher, whether it's a minister or whether at a university as such, I have the opportunity to correct the what's been incorrect for so long about, you know, our communities and our mothers and fathers and our ancestors. So it would probably be something in that capacity, you know, but I do that now. You know, I'm, like I say, I have the Arts Center, and I also do a distinguished guest lecturer tour all over the country. This month, I'm at USC. I just did Dartmouth in the fall, and then Juilliard, probably head over there. So, as well as other community institutions that I like to lecture in, like the Bed-Stuy Restoration Corporation's Billie Holiday Theater. I spend a lot of time doing Black theater intensives there, and you know, other that's important to me. It means a lot to me, and it makes me feel like I've my living is not in vain.
Right. And I have to say, if you were definitely a teacher now, I would definitely do whatever I can to become one of your students, because I definitely love the way you, I would, I love the way you approach life. And I love the way how you pretty much describe the art. And I love how we both share the same integrity for the arts, and just the integrity, period. So I would definitely be more than honored to be one of your students. Definitely. I would have my cell phone down listening to you all the way. Not being honest, that is like the truest form of paying attention that I can give. I will put my cell phone down. I would not touch it. I am focused. I just think you're that good at teaching. So coming up to the last question there, Mr. Ruben, I just got to know, after, you know, throughout your whole entire career, whether it's winning awards or, you know, just traveling or being able to work on, you know, projects that you are passionate about, what would you say is some of the most rewarding moments of your career?
Some of the most rewarding moments are the moments where I can pay respect to the people who have helped me. When I win, like you talked about awards, what an award is for me is an opportunity to say thank you to the people whose shoulders I'm standing on. And I don't just mean the ancestors. I mean, like, you know, I was with my manager for 30 some years until he retired. I've been with my wife for almost 30 years, over 30 years. They've all helped me, the writers, the directors, Lloyd Richards, August Wilson, Douglas Turner Ward, George C. Wolfe. When I have an opportunity to stand in front of an audience and there's a microphone in my mouth and they say, this is for you, Ruben. I say, no, I might be taking it, but it's for all this community. And so that's the most rewarding part of my career. When I can say thank you, when I can say thank you back. People always focus on the star or the person that's in the limelight. No one stands in the limelight without somebody else thrusting them there, helping them get there, without them holding them there. And so, I don't want to sound corny, but that means so much to me when I can look at them and see the smile on their face and say, did I do you proud? And they nod their head. But Nanny, the woman who raised me, I'm adopted. She didn't have to take me. And, you know, it was difficult for her because she didn't adopt me from, a foster home. She took me from a woman who she felt she could do better for me than my mother. And she said, allow me to help you with this child. I can do better for him. When you can do better for him, come and get him, because I don't want to have to take care of my whole life, but let me give you a break. You get your stuff together and I'll have this boy on the right path. You come get him. Unfortunately, my mother's life was down spiral, my real mother, and I ended up staying with Nanny, who the Lackawanna Blues is about, for my entire life. And it was the best thing. It was hard because I felt, in a sense, that my mother had left me. But when, as I got older, I realized it was a conscious choice to leave me in a better place than she was taking me. So that is the person I wanted to make most proud, Rachel Crosby, Nanny. And that's why I wrote a love letter called Lackawanna Blues to her. And little did anyone know, particularly me, mostly me, that it would be a phenomenon of sorts, that it would go on and people would know that name all over the world.
Absolutely. For one, thank you for sharing that. That is very beautiful and inspiring at the same time. And like I said, this is why I like talking to you, Ruben, because I have the same feeling that you have, just wanting to make those closest to me proud. I would love it if I make my mom proud, if she can see up the stage and go, oh my God, that's my baby, you know, all of that. So I definitely, you know, definitely relate to that. And I'm really glad that, you know, throughout everything, you mainly see the positive, and just, you're not letting that darkness, you know, take you down. You're letting light shine through. And I just think that is awesome. I do. Beyond.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Ruben, I enjoy talking with you today. Like I said, it's rare that I actually talk with someone who I can actually feel a connection with. Like I said, we are both avid readers. We both love the arts, and we both hold integrity and wanting to make, you know, others around us proud, dear to us. So I appreciate you giving me your thoughts and answers today.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Yes. And everyone, of course, I want to highly encourage you guys to make sure you guys check out Mr. Ruben Santiago Hudson. Make sure you guys keep up with all of the future projects he's going to be involved with. And, you know, just make sure you keep up with him just in general. He's an incredible man with an amazing career. I definitely appreciate him giving me his thoughts and talking with us. I definitely encourage everyone from Black Talent TV to just check us out. I definitely want to thank everyone for listening. Of course, you guys know I'm your hostess with the mostest, Miss Simone Jackson. I want to thank our special guest, Mr. Ruben Santiago Hudson, one more time. And again, you guys, until in another great episode of Look Who's Next, you guys have a fantastic day, and we will be back soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.